You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. Last week, protests clogged the streets of Armenia's capital, Yerevan, into what some are calling the April Revolution. The demonstrations resulted in the resignation of the Republic's Prime Minister, Serge Sargsyan. His decision was announced one day before the nation marked the anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. The change in power marks a turning point in Armenian affairs and the end of a 20-year-long streak in power for Armenia's Republican Party. So what does this mean for Armenians in America and for the rest of the world? Given the context of recent Russian involvement in the Ukraine and, of course, Russian meddling in the U.S. presidential election, what role is Russia playing in Armenia? Here to tell us more is Fresno State Armenian Studies Professor Barlo Dermurgadichian. Barlo, welcome.
Thank you, Joe.
So let's start out with sort of the lay of the land before the so-called April Revolution began. Who was Serge Sargsyan, and what were his politics of the party in power there?
Serge Sargsyan was a member of the ruling party. Now, that ruling party has had different sort of reiterations or different types of lives, different names. But he was part of the sort of the ruling class of Armenia, which really began with his predecessor, Robert Kocharyan. Both of them are actually from Karabakh, and they and their friends formed this party, which is today called the Republican Party, and it became the platform for him to become president of Armenia. However, that presidency was even tarnished because when elections took place in 2008, there were demonstrations, and actually some of the demonstrators were fired upon and killed.
So with the overall issue of Armenian politics, certainly the Soviet Union, a former republic. Armenia was a former republic of the Soviet Union, and Russian politics also looms large here. How does Russia fit into this equation?
Serge Sargsyan was seen as being very pro-Russian, but that's not unusual for Armenia because Russia is so influential in many areas of Armenia's economy, of its politics, of its military. There's still Russian troops based in Armenia protecting the border with Turkey. So all of these are levers that Russia can use to influence Armenia to really stay within the Russian orbit, as opposed to moving closer with perhaps Europe or the United States.
So you also mentioned that Sargsyan is from Karabakh. Tell us about that territory and why it's significant.
Karabakh is a piece of land, I'll call it a territory, which was formerly within the administrative jurisdiction of Azerbaijan, the Republic of Azerbaijan, in the Soviet period. However, in 1988, the Armenians in that region began to demonstrate for self-determination, and they actually passed a referendum where they wanted to be freed from Azeri rule and moved to Armenian rule. The Azerbaijanis didn't like it, and a war started from 1989 until 1994. The Armenians there won. They declared themselves, in the meanwhile, an independent republic, but they are not recognized by any other country in the world, and there are negotiations which have been going on for more than 20 years to try to settle that issue.
And where do the United States and Russia fall on that issue?
Well, on that issue, Russia and the United States, as well as France and some of the other major powers, form this group, which is called the OSCE group, who's tasked with trying to find a solution to the problem. However, just recently, within the last year, Azerbaijan has been threatening Armenia and Karabakh and actually has attacked Karabakh unprovoked. So the level of tension there has been very high.
So Serge Sargsyan out in power in Yerevan. Now, who is behind the opposition? I understand there's this journalist-turned-politician, Nikol Pashinyan. Tell me about him and the people who led this protest.
Well, it's interesting because Nikol Pashinyan was actually seen as being a leader of a very small group in the Armenian parliament. So the threshold of becoming a party that is represented in the parliament was 5% of the popular vote. And his political party just barely made it. So he was seen as being sort of a fringe figure, I would say, although he had spoken out against the government policies. He really didn't have a great following that I saw before this. But then suddenly his message resonated with people, and he began to walk up and down the country literally, and demonstrators began to gather. It became hundreds, then thousands, then tens of thousands, and really it was the trigger for it was Serge Sargsyan, who was the former president. because Armenia has changed its system of government from a presidential system to a parliamentary system. Serge Sarkisian was simply going to move over to become prime minister, which would have continued his power. And that was a move that triggered these mass protests and put Pashinyan in a place that he can now, we can say, has power.
What are the main issues that are driving this concern amongst Armenians demonstrating in the street?
Well, the main thing is dissatisfaction with government policy and the standard of living in Armenia. So it is very much a case, I believe, that there are haves and have-nots, and the government is protecting the haves. So the system of government, through corruption and other means, is simply tilted towards those people that already have money. What's the result? The result is that a significant number of people living in the country are still impoverished, but the best indicator is people leaving the country. So we know that within the last 10 years, several hundred thousand Armenians have left the country, either to go to Russia or to the United States, temporarily or permanently, because the living conditions simply were not satisfactory.
Now, we've seen in other instances, Ukraine being one of them, there have been uprisings on more Western-aligned groups that are then met with a counter-response from Russian-aligned groups. What is the mood like right now with regards to... are there concerns that Russia might exert some more muscle in Armenian affairs now?
I think there is concern because, as I said before, Russian troops are in Armenia. There are Russian agents probably, some kind of secret police or other kinds of people, that if the government wanted to use them, they could. But I think Serge Sarkisian realized that this was not a move that he wanted to do. He didn't want to fire on his own people. He didn't want to cause a revolution, a civil war, rather, within his own country. So that is, in a sense, kind of moderated the Russian response. But I have no doubt that the Russians are formulating a response, have probably already talked to Pashinyan, the opposition leader, to see where he stands. I believe he's already stated that he does not plan immediately to change the foreign policy of Armenia or its relationship with Russia.
So where do Armenians go from here? How does this play out? This seems to mark a big turning point in Armenian affairs. Of course, you have the fall of the Soviet Union and Armenian independence. And then for the last 20 years, this Armenian Republican Party essentially has been in control. How significant is this and where do Armenians go from here?
Well, it's hard to predict the future just, you know, perfectly. Yeah. but we're talking about, and many people are using the term, a new Armenia. So there is a new president who seems to be now looking at the situation. And although he doesn't have great power, he has seemed to be tilting towards the protesters. The other issue is that there has to be elections. So May 1st, Armenia will decide its next prime minister. And right now, the Republican Party, which is the largest faction, said that they won't put up any candidates, which pretty much opens the way for the opposition leader, Pashinyan, to become the next prime minister. But the next step would be then to see if there could be fair elections in Armenia. And that would happen very quickly. And that would change the whole face of the parliament. And if that could be done, then this would truly be a revolution, a bloodless revolution, a peaceful revolution, which transformed the entire country.
How closely are Armenians in the diaspora here in America watching this, and what's the discussion amongst the people you've talked to like?
Well, it's pretty much everyone is following it, whether they are from Armenia themselves or whether they are diaspora and Armenians who were born in America, because it affects all of our work in Armenia as well. I mean, the question of working with government agencies or with universities, it was all sort of through the lens of the political situation in Armenia. So people here are following very closely. Of course, now social media gives almost instantaneous reporting. So you get video, you get interviews, and you get analysis. So I would say people are very, very interested in what's happening.
And do we know anything at this point about the U.S. response to this from the Trump administration and the State Department? Have they come out in any way, one side or the other, with what's happening in Armenia?
Well, I believe that they have come out with a statement which pretty much calls for the typical kinds of things, you know, peaceful transition or peaceful. I don't think that they're going to support the previous regime. I think they probably will see what's going to happen because they really don't know who this Pashinyan is in terms of his politics. So it's an open question.
And was it significant that this happened right before the nation observed the anniversary of the Armenian Genocide? This happened on the 23rd, the 24th. Armenians here in America and across the globe recognized the horrors of over a century ago. Was that a significant, no, or was that a coincidence, or was that...
Well, I think it's a factor, certainly, but the real trigger was Serge Sarkisian's assuming power as prime minister. I don't remember exactly the day, but it was just a few days before that, 21st or so. So that became really the trigger. Now, people would have come in large numbers to the Armenian Genocide Monument. So it's not hard to say that, okay, people are ready to come out of their homes anyway. And now if they could be somehow, if their efforts could be sort of unified by an opposition leader who speaks to them in their own language, which is that, you know, we want to clean out the previous administration, then I think all of those factors work together.
We've been talking with Fresno State Armenian Studies professor Barlo Dermirgedichian about the so-called April Revolution that has toppled a political dynasty in Armenia. And the future for that republic will be paying very close attention to that as the Valley's Armenian community watches closely as well. Barlo, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.